Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Now we're giving it up, but I want to hear y'all talk to the Lord and give y'all praise, because hallelujah is the highest praise. Can I hear you? Hallelujah. 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 One more time. Let me hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Been through trials and tribulations, been the talk of conversations, been abused with no direction. Through it all, found consolation, knowing that my Father loves me. He gave life just to show me, even when I'm feeling lonely, He's always there. I am a testimony, and it's by the grace of God. Been through ups and downs, been all around, but I'm still here. I am a testimony for all men to see. God is still working miracles today.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Virtuous Wives Network. Praise the Lord. God bless you and thank you for being here. For truly we know God is awesome. Amen. He is a wonderful, magnificent, awesome, and mighty God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And here on the Virtuous Wives Network, we want to walk you through the Word of God to show you what God has to say about your marriage, what God has to say about how to raise your children, what God has to say about how you represent Him in the kingdom of God. So we go to the Word, praise God, to hear what thus saith the Lord. Glory be to God. And so I want to welcome Prophet Morgan from True Life Outreach Ministries, as well as Outpouring of Life International Worship Center. Welcome, man of God. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. I also want to welcome Minister Bonnie Howell from True Life Outreach. I'm sorry, True. Yes, I was correct. True Life Outreach Ministry. Praise God. Woman of God, are you there?
I'm here.
Praise God. I get a little tripped up every now and again, people of God. But Minister Bonnie Howell is the founder of True Life Outreach Ministries. Praise God. We're her and Prophet Morgan co-host together, and I'm there also, and we're just lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and praising and thanking God, as well as getting some good teaching and preaching and just getting a word from the Lord, because we all need a word from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. And so we come together here on the Virtuous Wives Network, again, to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he should be first in your life. Amen?
Amen.
You have to start with Jesus. Glory be to God. And then you get introduced through Jesus to the Father, praise God, and the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And you need them, all three together, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to have the kind of marriage that God envisioned since before the foundation of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So no matter what is happening in your life or what is happening in your marriage, it is not small to God. It may be small to people, but it is not small to God. God truly cares about you and what you're going through. And it is important to him how you feel. It is important to him how you are treated. It is important to him, praise God, how you interact with other people as well as how other people interact with you. Glory to God. And so tonight, praise the Lord, we're going back into the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Hallelujah, Jesus. To take a look at the virtuous woman. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because see here, we are developing and birthing virtuous women into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I hope and pray that you have come with your Bible. Praise God. But if you do not have your Bible with you, that is okay, praise the Lord. Please go to www.BibleGateway.com. And from there, you will be able to type in the scriptures, praise God, that we will cover tonight as we discuss the virtuous woman. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to welcome, praise God, our guest here in the chat room. God bless you. Thank you for being here. I do see you and I want to acknowledge you. Amen. And if at any time you would like to sign in, praise God, you are welcome to do so. And then you can interact with us here in the chat room. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yeah, I believe that's me, prophetism.
Okay, that's okay, woman of God.
I'm trying to get myself in.
Praise God. That is okay. Praise the Lord. But for those of you who are listening, praise God. And those of you who are on the phone lines with us, those of you listening from Twitter, Facebook, whatever other social media outlet that you may be using, glory to God. If you are currently listening and you want to take part in the chat room where we are interactive with you, you are welcome to do so. And you can do that by going to blogtalkradio.com. Praise God. And if you don't have an account, please sign up for one. And then that way you will be able to interact with us in the chat room. As a guest, you're not able to do so, although you can see the scriptures that we're typing in or see what is being said in the chat room. You are not able to interact with us unless you have an account. So if you don't have an account, it takes less than about 5 minutes to create one, praise God, and then you can interact with us in the chat room. Glory to God. We welcome your questions and your comments, praise the Lord, and we will address them as the time leads, praise the Lord. And so we will address questions in the chat room, glory be to God, over the phone lines, praise God. And if the need arises for us to address those questions over the phone line, then we will do so as well. So for those of you listening, you may call in at 646-929-0305, praise God, and you are able to get your questions addressed over the airwaves. We would prefer for you to place them in the chat room, and then we will deal with them accordingly. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so again, tonight we're going back into the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Praise the Lord. As we continue to discuss the virtuous woman, praise God, and the things that a virtuous woman does. Amen. Glory be to God. Because you cannot simply say that you are a virtuous woman without the actions of a virtuous woman following them. Or more or less, you should not have to say, I am a virtuous woman to others. Praise God. You can say it to yourself privately. Amen. But you should not have to say amongst other people, well, I'm a virtuous woman. I'm a woman of virtue. Praise God. No, they should be able to see it in your life before you ever open up your mouth. Oh, come on and bless the Lord with me. They should be able to see in your life that you are a virtuous woman before you have to open up your mouth and say, I am a virtuous woman. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't have to speak something that people can see for themselves. You're not supposed to have to say it. They should see it. Amen? Glory Amen. To God. And so when you speak, praise the Lord, they should be able to hear within your words and in the wisdom that God has given you. That's a virtuous woman. Glory to God. They should be able to hear in the conversation of your husband as he talks about you. That's a virtuous woman. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. They should be able to hear it more or less than they are to hear you say it from your mouth. It should come from your husband. It should come from your lifestyle. Praise God. It should come from, praise the Lord, them just seeing you around and interacting with you. But most importantly, praise the Lord, it should come from the people who are around you the most. Amen.
Amen.
To God. And so we're tackling tonight, praise God, the children. Amen. Hallelujah. See, because the children are around the mother and the father more than they are around anybody else. Is that correct?
Amen.
And so if anybody knows what type of person you really and truly are, it is your children. Oh, come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You may be able to fake it, praise the Lord, in front of the church. Fake it in front of coworkers. Fake it in front of family members. But you come all undone in front of the children. Come on now.
Mm.
Praise God. Oh, come on, somebody.
Mm.
You become all undone in front of the children. Because you don't have to fake it in front of them. Oh, come on, somebody.
All right, now.
You don't have to put on a show for the kids. Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pretend in front of them.
Mm.
You have no need of masking anything in front of the children because you are in authority over them. Oh, come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, Jesus. So tonight we're going into the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, and we're looking at verse 8. If we asked your children, what kind of woman were you? Did they call you a virtuous woman? Oh, come on now.
Mm.
Amen.
Because, see, children tell the truth.
They sure do.
Children don't lie to you. Amen. Preach, woman of God. She said, yeah. Hallelujah. The kids are going to say, all you have to do is get a child by themselves and ask them about someone, and the child will tell you the truth. Which is why people don't like to have you by themselves with children. Because they already know that child is going to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The child is going to pull the covers off you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And as I have discussed, glory be to God, with Prophet Morgan, praise the Lord, as well as others, praise God, when I was a child and my father would go to work, my stepfather, rather, and my mother would be home with me. Everything that we did, or she did, rather,
okay.
When my father got home, he got a full report of those things, whether they were good or bad, right or wrong. I didn't have a filter.
Oh, wow.
There were things I couldn't say or things that I shouldn't tell. Amen.
Amen.
And so when he would get home, I would say, hey, Daddy, we did this, 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 and Mommy did this, this, this. Praise God. See, because children speak the truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. So let's look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 31 and verse 28. Hallelujah. This is from the King James Bible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this word that you're about to bring forth. Lord, because we know only you can do it. We ask you, Father God. We ask Christ Jesus. We ask you, Holy Ghost, to stand before us, to make your presence known. Let your voice be heard. Speak to your children, for we need to hear a word from you, Lord God. We need to be taught and led by our Lord and Savior. We need to be, oh, Jesus, we need to be led and taught by the Holy Ghost, the teacher, the comforter. We need you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to bring forth a word that will bless us. Bring forth a word, oh, Lord God, that will help us. Bring forth the word, O Lord God, that will heal us, O Lord God. Bring forth the word that will comfort us. Bring forth the word that will teach us and lead us and guide us, O Lord God, into the knowledge of all truth. In your word, O Lord, direct us through your word so that we know the way in which we should go. We know the things in which we should do. We know the things in which we should say, O Lord God. But most importantly, we know how to be right before you in your sight through your word. For your word is your will, oh Lord God. And so tonight we just want to say thank you for the word that you're about to bring forth. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for allowing us to be your servants and your best. Thank you for allowing us to speak and be before you and in front of your people, for your children, oh Lord, are important to you, oh Lord God. And we don't count it a small thing to be before your people, because these are your children, Lord God. And they are more important to you than anything in the world. You died for them. You shed your blood for them. You just say thank you. Father, allow all of me to decrease and all of you to increase. Allow all of us and all of you to increase. Let your word spring forth mightily through myself, Prophet Morgan, and Minister Howell, O Lord. And out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water through your Holy Ghost. That with you, that they can say, now that's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for what I'm asking for, what I'm praying for, what I'm seeking your face for, O Lord. And I'm asking these things in Jesus' name, accepting and receiving. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Your name, Father. Hallelujah. So let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 31 and into verse 8. Praise the Lord. Describing a virtuous woman, it says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Oh, come on, people of God. Hallelujah. Because, see, the people who you are around the most are your children and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the congregation, whether you are in the pew or in front of the pulpit. It is children and your husband. What does your husband and your children have to say about you?
Mm-mm-mm.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Do your children respect you? Does your husband respect you? And when I say respect, what is it that I mean? Can they see that what you say is what you do? Can they see that what you do is what you say? Or do they find themselves trying to figure out who you really are? Oh, come on now. Praise God. On the one hand, they see you in church, whether in the pew or in the pulpit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You are agreeing, or whether you're bringing forth the word and saying, this is what the Lord says and this is what we need to be doing. But on the other hand, do they see you doing something differently than what you say?
Mm. My Lord.
And then, well, wait a minute here. You preached this, or you amened that, or agreed to that in the church, but when we got home, we see a totally different woman.
Mm.
Come on now.
Mm.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Okay. Praise God. Do they see you as kind to the people in the church, or as kind to the people that you pastor over, and then come home and be unloving and unkind to them? Do you smile and you shake hands and you give hugs, but at home you're as cold as ice?
Mm.
Oh, come on now. Glory to God. Your man of God, your husband says, baby, can you get me a glass of water? You can get it yourself. You got two hands, arm, 2 feet. Let your body lead you to the kitchen. Oh, come on now. Praise God. But in front of people, it's praise the Lord. In front of people, it's glory to God. It's different from the woman in the pit or in the pew and the woman at home.
My, my, my.
Or would your children rise up and call you blessed before you as well as before others? Do they say wonderful things about you? Does your husband praise you? You know, I got a good woman, man. She cooks, she cleans, hey, she takes care of me and my niece. She takes care of the children. She keeps the house looking good. I mean, what does he have to say about you? Oh, come on now. Praise God. Because you will rise up as a virtuous woman and call you blessed, and your husband also praises you. He has something good to say about you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on now. Glory to God. But what would he really say about you? About you. Glory to God.
My Lord.
Come on now, people of God. What is it that said about you? Would it truly be that your children rise up and call you blessed in front of you as well as in front of others?
Mm-hmm.
or do they tell the truth about you? What you really like? Well, come on, time. Oh, come on now, people of God. Do they say the real truth? Because it's different than what you say? Or do they say, praise God, my mother's exactly what you see is what you get. She's the same way in people as well as she is at home. Come on now.
Mama.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go forth, Minister Howell.
Glory to God. You know, this is a very, very good topic. We have to practice what we preach. Because the real you will come out. Are you hiding behind a mask? Glory to God. If you're hiding behind the mask, you need to take the mask off. Glory to God and pray. If the mask that you are portraying outside your home doesn't line up with the mask that you have on inside your house, it has to line up. Just like the word of God, what a person say about what thus says the Lord, it has to line up with the word. Well, your life has to line up with what you're preaching.
Amen. Prophet Morgan? Glory to God. Have we lost a man of God? Prophet Morgan, are you there? Praise God. Okay, we're going to wait for Prophet Morgan to come back in.
Praise Amen.
God.
I'm here.
Amen. Praise God. Go forth.
My phone was on mute and I didn't know it. Okay. Praise the Lord. So I was just talking away while you were talking and I was like, okay.
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Amen. Amen. And we're going to tell Verizon that'll be some money. We'll give you our lawyers after a while.
Okay.
They're going to have to pay us for that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to use this time to tell a story. See, because Prophet V, without even understanding, you don't know that you're talking about something that I know all too well. Praise the Lord, because my grandmother was the lady that you were describing.
Oh, God. All right, Holy Ghost.
My grandmother was the lady that you were describing. So,
Jesus.
You know, grandmother wasn't too fun of us doing things, of us doing certain things. And, you know, and so we were like, well, we are never going to be able to do these things. Until we saw how grandmother reacted around the church. She had these things, well, you don't cuss on Sundays. You don't do this on Sunday. Because we were taught on Sunday, you're on your best behavior.
Jesus.
We were taught on Sunday, you know, things that you did during the week, you don't do on Sunday. Matter of fact, if you were to go around my family now, and you would say a cuss word or something, all of a sudden, everybody would look at you and say, you know it's Sunday. You don't need to.
Jesus.
It's Sunday. You don't be talking like that. And so we kind of got the hang of it. So me and my brother, we knew that grandmother was a whole different person on Sunday. So we said whenever we wanted to do something wrong or whenever we wanted to do something, well, it doesn't necessarily have to be wrong, but it had to be something that we knew she wouldn't let us do during the week. So we say, okay, well, let's wait till grandmother goes to church. And when she go to church, we're going to ask her, can we do such stuff? And we got to wait till she in front of the pastor because she can still sneak some words off.
My God.
You know, when she stuck down in between the middle of those pews.
Not
in the middle of the, so we got to wait till the, she she in front of the pastor. So we would say, oh, grandmother, can we go out and get our toys out and dump them all over the floor, you know, some things that we could not do normally. And she said, oh, yes, baby. Oh, yes. And so we do it. And we're like, man, this is the best. We hope pastor stay home for the rest of the night or whatever.
Amen. Jesus.
Yo, pastor stay home. So when he left, who told y'all to get these toys out? And we said, you did. Remember when that was it? Well, put them up. You know, or we would be in church and she would be so nice to us. Oh, praise the Lord. You children go play and y'all go to, because we had this thing of y'all go to children's church and all of these wonderful things, and we would go to what was called children's church. By the time we got out of children's church, she was cursing us because, you know, we may have gotten dirty or whatever. And me and my brother trying to figure out, okay, who was the praise the Lord lady in this church?
My God.
Where is that grandma at?
Jesus.
We want that one, you know. And I'm going to tell one more story. Then I'm going to give the floor back over to you about this. You know, like you were saying, you used to tell everything, you know, when you were a child.
Amen.
Well, you weren't by yourself. But the only thing is I used to tell everything to the pastor.
Oh, Jesus.
I would tell it to the adult, but I'd tell it to the pastor. I remember this one time where my grandmother did not want to go to an evening service, but they asked her to come. You know, so she had concocted in her mind that she was going to lie about my aunt being in a car wreck.
Wow.
So that the pastor would excuse her from service. I didn't know anything about this, but I as a child, I was a nosy little child.
You wasn't by yourself.
So I was a nosy little child, so nosy that you could put me in the next room and I could still hear what you were talking
about.
You can tell me to go play with my brother and sister. And I was going to tell my brother and sister, shh, shh, shh. So I knew what was going on.
Jesus.
You know, and so I heard about how they were going to lie or whatever. And so we got to church, and she was saying, oh, pastor, I'm sorry that I didn't get to come to service. You know, my daughter's got in a car accident and blah, 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 blah. And I said, and then without question, Mr. Nosey spoke up and said, no, they didn't, Granny. You went to the Rick James concert.
Jesus.
I didn't know that he was concocting a lie because she didn't want to go to church.
My God.
And so, like you said, the children will tell them.
Jesus.
Like you said, who are you really? And your children don't tell it.
Jesus, thank Lord.
Back up to you.
Glory, glory, glory. See, we really don't want, praise God, there to be a difference between how we act in the church, which is what we feel is the house of God, and when we get home. Because God is in your house too.
Mm-hmm.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
What does that mean? He's in you. You're taking him wherever you go. Praise God. You know, I want to take a look at a scripture, praise the Lord. As we're talking about that, glory to God. I want to look at a scripture that follows along those lines. But, little woman of God, let go of that. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes.
Your audio is messing up a little bit.
Okay. Give me one moment. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound good now.
Okay. Go with me, people of God, to the book of Acts chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 5. Because I want you to see something here in the Word of God. Glory, glory, glory.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I want you to see something here from what it says in the Word of God. Can you guys hear me clearly, or do you hear an echo, or is there any problem with the voice?
We can hear you.
No, you're okay on my end. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Minister Howell.
Yeah, you're fine. No echo.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I want you to see something here in the Word of God. So go with me again into the book of Acts chapter 5. And we're going to read, praise the Lord, I believe it's verses, let me just make sure here, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God for the words you're in on tonight, hallelujah. Okay, we're going to go from verses 1, and I believe it's through verse 8 or 9. Praise God. Glory to God. I pray that you have went there in your Bible right now. Praise God. But if not, you have a little time to get there right now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, so we're looking at Acts chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Prophetess Carol, for letting us know that you can hear. And you, baby girl, praise God. She's over here letting us know that she can hear. Although I don't remember us asking her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you guys there in your Bible?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, so we're again, we're looking at Acts chapter 5. We are reading verses 1 through 11. It says, But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remains, was it not in your own? Or was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost.
Amen.
And great fear came on all them that heard these things. See, we're getting unto a person who's lying, and then their wife also conspiring with them to seek this lie.
Mm.
Praise God. So husband and wife lying together. All right now, Jesus. It says, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband.
Mm.
And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did I read Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11? Because, see, prophet just gave us a story about how he, who was not a part of what grandmother was doing, told the truth to the man of God.
Mm-hmm.
But see, what we don't look at is, we think that just as I'm sure prophet had no intention on just telling on his grandmother. Glory to God. But what happens is this. We think that when we're lying to a man of God or to a woman of God, we think that we're just lying to them. But we don't seem to remember the scripture that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning God is in you as well as God is in the man or the woman of God that you're lying to. And for some reason, we think or feel that the Holy Ghost is not going to reveal the truth.
Mm.
Because, see, we don't see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are there, present, when we tell these lies. But we need to be more aware of what we're doing. God is not a man that he should lie, which means God is not a liar.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And since God is not a liar, then that means we have to live up to God's standards and be people who speak the truth. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And not a lie. Praise God. Now, I didn't say that to condemn his grandmother, but I said that because, you know what, so many of us don't feel as if when we're lying to a man of God or a woman of God, it doesn't have to be your pastor. It could be something that happened just yesterday. You are friends with the woman of God who goes to the same church that you go to. And you told her that you and her should go out and get something to eat together. And when you were not able to do so because you had something else to do, and she asked you, well, what happened to you the other day? Oh, well, you know, my husband, you know, I had to go and do some things for him, and so I didn't get around to it. That's a lie. You probably didn't want to go out with her anymore. You know, sometimes we change our mind about the way that we feel. It sounds like a good idea on Sunday, but by the time you get to Friday, you don't feel like doing it anymore.
Mm.
And so you decided that you were not going to do it. And you conceived a lie in your heart to tell her when you saw her or when she called you so that she would not know the truth about what had happened. But you're lying. And for some reason, you don't feel like the Holy Ghost is going to tell that woman that you're lying. Okay, to use another example, your mother asks you if you went to school today. And you say, yeah, Mama, I went to school. And the Holy Ghost said, no, she didn't. She was with Rick. And you say, well, Lisa, if you went to school, why were you at Rick's house? And she's so shocked, she thinks that somebody told her. She thinks that one of your friends who was probably there with you, oh, come on now, told her that you were at Rick's house. Or maybe it was your little sister, Brenda, who told her that you were at Rick's house.
Mama.
You know, because you just couldn't keep your mouth closed and had to tell somebody. But it wasn't your little sister, and it wasn't your friend, and it wasn't Rick. It was the Holy Ghost. But see, we don't seem to believe that the Holy Ghost will reveal the truth to the person we're lying to. And I hope you learn today through this scripture that you can lie to a person, but the Holy Ghost will reveal the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. But we need to make sure that the woman we portray is the woman that we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if you're still learning and growing. We're all still learning and growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an embarrassment for you not to have learned something. It just means that God has more to teach you. So you shouldn't feel ashamed or embarrassed because you know what? In this area, I still need to grow. You should be okay with where you are. Because if God is okay with where you are, then it doesn't matter about what another person feels about where you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You are a child of God. and you are a member of Christ's body, and you are putting on Christ daily. So where you are is really between you, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Not you and everybody else. So if you have to grow in certain areas, it's okay. The fact that you can point out that you have certain areas that you have to grow in means you're growing. It means that you're learning. So if you're still learning to become, praise God, more like what it says here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, that a virtuous woman is, it's okay. But be who you are. You don't have to pretend to be anything to anybody. There was a process that the man of God or the woman of God, either the pastor or the woman or man who sits with you in the pew, had to go through themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They were not always the person that you see. They had places and areas in which the Lord had to grow them in.
Mm-hmm.
He had to develop them in certain areas of their life. So if you're not quite there, that's okay. You can and will get there. Glory to God. So you don't have to pretend and you don't have to fake it. Just be who you are. Don't be religious. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. But so will or do your children and your husband say good things about you? When they're talking to other people, do they say good things about you? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Or do they say, well, you know what? I'm so tired of mommy acting like she cook all the time. She don't cook ever when she's home. But when she goes to the church, she cooking at all the functions that the church has. And the husband is saying, oh, my wife is so sweet and so kind, but when she gets home, she won't even wash my clothes.
Mm.
Praise God. What manner of woman is this? Praise the Lord.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Because they see two different people. Praise God.
Amen.
One person in the church, another person at home. Or do they see that the mother that they know at home is the same mother at church?
Mm.
Does your husband see the wife that he knows at home is the same wife at the church? Can he sit and say, I have a good wife? She's a great mother and a great friend, and she's a great minister of the gospel, you know, teacher, preacher, evangelist, you know, whatever office of ministry that you walk in. Praise God. Can he say, I am so proud of her, because you know what? She handles her business at home as a wife as well as at the ministry, at church, before the people of God. Is he proud of you? Are your children proud of you? Or do they look at you with contempt? Do they say, she is a wonderful mother, and she spends time with us, and she laughs with us, and she helps us with our homework, and she takes us places, and, you know, does your husband say, you know, she makes sure that she has things in order in the home, and she takes care of the children, and, you know, we have our special time together where we go and we do things? Or is he saying, she never makes time for me? Does it seem as if we're talking about two totally different people? Amen?
Amen.
Go forth in the south.
Praise God. Praise God. And I mean, what's in a person will come out, you know. So we have to be honest with ourselves, you know. And if you need help in that area, you know, some people just live the lie, you know. And so in order to overcome it, you have to seek the face of God and ask him to help you in that area. And he will help you because we truly, truly have to practice what we preach, because God is not the author of confusion. When you acting one way in your house and then acting another way out in the public, then somebody is going to be confused. And who will it be? The one that you live with. They're confused. So we wonder why our loved ones a lot of time won't get saved. It's because we live in two lifestyles. You know, we can't live two lifestyles.
Jesus. Prophet. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
As we're waiting on the prophet, praise God, I hope and pray that this word is starting to make sense to you. It's starting to make you take inventory. It's starting to make you examine yourself. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Minister Howell said, God is not the author of confusion. And if he is not the author of confusion, he doesn't want you confusing his children, your son and his daughter. Go forth, prophet.
Amen. One of the things, Prophet Z, that we have to look at too is this. You know, you want to talk about how anointed you are and how God is really, you know, I just have an awesome anointing. I just have an awesome gifting. I just have an awesome this. Well, where your anointing is first proven is at home.
Amen.
Where your anointing is first proven is at home, because it's no good. Hallelujah, for you to try to run the house of God, or you trying to fake the funk in front of the people of God. Hallelujah, because, hallelujah, it's no use for you doing that if it does not work at home. See, and a lot of, you know, you were talking about when we left off, you were talking about leaders. And, you know, this is where I got to perform surgery.
Amen.
Amen. Are you overly bossy or overly hallelujah, asserting your authority at church because it doesn't work at the house?
My.
Because you have decided since you cannot be king at home, you're going to be king somewhere.
Jesus,
I got to perform surgery, and it is not all the time because you are not a great leader. It's not all the time because you're not a great person, but it is because your children feel like, how mama and daddy gonna try to tell me something when they don't even live in the house? Are you gonna tell me? Hallelujah. It's good for me to do this, but you are the meanest person. Yes, you are the nicest person because you know that's what your job as a preacher entails. That's what your job as a quote-unquote Christian entails. But see, you feel like that I'm not even a soul. So you forget that, mama, when you come home, you still got to deal with my soul. See, you perfected your niceness in order to draw the souls into the church, but you ain't drawing the people at your house.
Amen.
See, because by love and kindness have I drawn them. That means also That means also to our families. We cannot treat the people that come into our worship center as if they are in danger of hell's fire. We want to be nice to them because we want them to see the attributes of Christ on us, and we want them to see this, and we want them to see that, and so we do that. But the thing of it is, your children have a soul too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on now. Preach.
Your children got a soul, too. And they just, and some of our children, I know we ain't going to tell the truth up in here today, but some of our children are just as lost as those people in the church. Come on, somebody.
Preach, baby girl.
But the reason why our children, some of our children, are lost because we're two different people.
Man.
And we forget to treat them as if they're souls.
Yes, Lord.
We forget to treat them that, hey, just as nice as we're treating that sinner woman that come into church with that low-cut skirt. Come on, we're going to deal with the issue. Because Prophetess V broke it open, so we might as well go all the way there.
Amen. I know that's right.
Here we go.
Go all the way there because our children are saying, yeah, but Daddy, you won that soul, but you lost me.
Jesus.
Mama, you won that soul, but you lost me.
And God said he wished that none would perish, your children included.
You know, because, you know, prophecy, I cannot really do this without telling this story. About a story I used to tell all the time when I do the, and you guys have heard it before because if you listen to my family series, you know about this story that I would tell. When I'm doing family series and teaching on family about this, and I make up the name. So if the names ain't the same, that's because I make them up. It's not a real story. But I tell the story.
Well, Prophet, I want to stop you for just a moment. It actually is a real story. You're just not talking about people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody's story.
Amen.
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 Somebody actually went through what you're about to talk about or goes through.
Amen. 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 And so this story, you know, I always say, well, we're going to use Joey and Jake today. Well, I always say that, you know, dealing with bullying, you know, Jake is bullying Joey about his family, you know, and talking about, hallelujah, how he's the reason why, you know, their parents are getting divorced. And he's really, like, bullying him. And Jake, you know, Joey's parents are ministers of the gospel. They are ministers of the gospel. You know, she's the first lady at the church. The dad is the bishop at the church. And they spend time arguing with denominational connections, fighting among church folks about all the wrong that they're doing. And, you know, they spend time going to this conference and going here and going there. But all the while, little Joey is still being bullied by Jake. You know, he's still being tormented by Jake, you know, and Jake is telling him all the time, Joey, you know, your parents are getting a divorce from you. Do you know how much it takes to feed you? Do you know that? And all of this is playing inside of little Joey's mind. Everything that Jake said is playing inside of little Joey's mind, and so it plays over repetitively. Now the enemy has sent demons to also torment him, to also, hallelujah, mess with his mind about this. You know, and so in the absence of Daddy and Mama to really tell him what is going on and what is happening when somebody's from him what is really going on when these things happen. They're off at the meeting. They're off at the church for a little while. Joey's self-esteem is being destroyed. Joey's confidence is being destroyed. And he is starting to believe the lie of the enemy. All of a sudden he decides that it would be better off if I wasn't here, so mama and daddy would not have to get a divorce. So that mama and daddy won't have to do this. And don't tell me that the enemy won't do this, because the enemy reminds him, he says, remember that pearl handle revolver.
So girl, wait a minute. Prophet is preaching, not you.
Just remember that revolver that your daddy bought to protect your family. And the enemy tells him where he is. If you don't think that this is true, that the enemy will communicate to you where things are in your house when he's got a mission for you. Hallelujah. You don't think that that is, you need to read John 10:10 again. The enemy cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So he wants to destroy little Timmy. He wants to destroy little Joey. So he tells little Joey where the revolver is. So little Joey goes and gets the revolver out of the closet, and before he goes and gets the revolver out of the closet, he writes mommy and daddy a letter. He says, I'm gone now, so you don't have to fight anymore. I'm leaving now, so you don't have to struggle anymore to feed me. I am out of the way. In his little childlike mind, he can think of, he writes this letter to let his parents know that he's not going to interfere with them anymore. He's not going to cause problems anymore. You know, and he writes this letter, and playing with the gun, it goes off and shoots him in the head. And he's dead in the closet, and mom and dad come home and find him lying dead in their closet. Now, where was Joey's mother and father to let them to stop the onslaught of the enemy? Stop what was going on in little Joey's head about his family and about his life. Where were they at the time? At the meeting, trying to impress others about Jesus Christ, but not making an imprint in their child about Jesus. Not making an imprint. And when you fail to make an imprint, an impression, an impact in your child's life about Jesus Christ, he is left to the devices of the enemy with no defense. That's why Jesus told us to make the gospel so plain that even a child would not err. And so we have to think about this. We have to make so very careful that we're not winning everybody at the church and losing our children. That we're not impressing, even if you're not in ministry, make sure you're not impressing everybody at the church about who you are. And you're not impressing your child. Because when you are able to impress your child about Jesus, that's where it really counts. when you're able to minister to your child about Jesus, that's when God says you are making disciples. Because yes, God tells us to go forth and make disciples of our nations, but it means for us to start with the nation of our household. Amen. Prophet is me. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We have to be doers of God's word and not just hearers. Praise God. We cannot become the religious sect. We cannot become, praise God, the Pharisee. Amen. The one who, praise God, is so concerned about what other people are doing or how other people think or feel more than we're concerned about what God feels.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because, see, one of the things that we have to understand here is we're not just, praise God, vessels and servants of God. Glory be to God. But God has allowed us to be, praise God, and I'm going to just say this the way that it is supposed to be said. He has allowed us to be workers, praise the Lord, in his daycare center. Amen?
Amen.
You say, woman of God, what do you mean? God has employed you to take care of his children. Oh, yeah. Those are your kids that God has blessed you with to take care of, but they also belong to the Lord. Those are his sons and his daughters, as well as, praise God, you are his son or daughter. So God is looking for you, praise God, to really teach his child the right things. So we have to live the right way in order to be able to teach his children, our children, the right thing. Amen? So that they don't see a woman in the pew or in the pulpit and then another woman at home. They have to see the fear of God in you. Praise God. To follow the instructions, the commandments, the ordinances, and the statutes of God. They have to see that you care about what God says. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You don't just care about saying what God says. You care enough to do what God says. You say, I love God. And God says, if you love me, then show me. And how do we show him that we love him? By doing what he says. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you obey my commands.
Mm-hmm.
If you love me. And so our children need to see us showing that we really love God. Because what they will do is follow in our footsteps. Amen?
Amen.
They're going to learn from what we teach them. And you know, this has nothing to do with prophets, but I'm going to be honest here. If you, praise God, live a certain way Monday through Saturday and then do something different on Sunday, we teach them that it's okay to play with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is God Monday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just God on Sunday or Saturday. You know, some people say, oh, the Sabbath day is Saturday, not Sunday. Okay, it doesn't matter. God is not just God on Saturday or Sunday. He's God Monday through Sunday. He's God every day of the week. Praise God. And if I'm only acting a certain way on Sunday, that means I'm not actually who I claim to be. Because it should bother you to do something differently Monday through Saturday and then put on a show on Sunday.
Mm.
It should bother you. What if your mother was only your mother on Sunday?
Mm.
And Monday through Saturday, she didn't want nothing to do with it.
There you go.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, she played Mommy Dearest. Oh, come on now. Because we need to be honest and tell the truth. This is what happens a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Mommy isn't home. Mommy got boyfriends. Or a boyfriend at the moment. But she want to impress him. So she come home and pretend that she this great mother that always is there and takes care of her kids.
Mm.
So she going to get home and play Mommy Dearest when you know that's not what she really like. She does not do this. But because she want him to think good of her, she going to pretend to be Mommy Dearest. How would you like a mother one day a week?
Mm.
She going to cook one day a week. Oh, come on now. She's going to have clothes for you to wear one day a week. Never mind the fact that you got to go to school Monday through Friday. Oh, come on. She ain't never showed up to a parent-teacher meeting, but praise God to impress somebody at the church or the pastor or her new boyfriend, she done showed up at the school.
Mm.
Pretending that she is so caring about how your schooling is going. She really cares. She's really interested in whether you pass or fail.
Mm.
She's never been to a dance recital. She's never been to a play you've done. She's never been to a football game. But to impress somebody, she shows up.
Mm.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Because, see, these are the things that we do as people. Without realizing how it is affecting your children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And God is saying, no, your child needs you. And a lot of people, praise God, they get so caught up in ministry that they forget about the children.
Mm, forget about everything.
they get so caught up, you know, being mother and father to the children in the church. Oh, come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That you ain't mothering and fathering your children at home. You spend so much time listening to people's problems at the church, but you can't take 10 minutes for your son or your daughter at the house.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, come on now. You counsel married couples at the church, but you can't counsel your daughter who's married at home.
Mm.
She got to seek counsel elsewhere because you're too busy counseling everybody else at the church.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. She got to get somebody. Oh, okay, Holy Ghost. She got to get somebody else to marry her and you a minister.
Ooh.
Oh, come on now. That. This is a problem. It's a serious problem. And you know what? A lot of the time we don't even realize these things are happening because it can happen to anybody. I'm not sitting here pretending like I couldn't be that person right now.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because you know what? We get so busy doing what God has called us to do. That we stop making sure that we do the first work of ministry, which is at home.
Oh, my Lord.
And God is saying it's time to put things back in their proper order. Put it back in its proper place, in its rightful place. Be the mother at home as well as the mother of the church.
Amen.
Because you have been called to do more. Praise God. Than just mothering at church. You've been called to mother at home. If God has blessed you and giving you children, then you have to mother those children at home first. Praise God. Go forth in the south.
Praise God. Praise God. We have to. You say charity begins at home and spreads abroad. Glory to God. So it all begins at home. And your children looking at you because you are their example. You're the one brought them in the world. You are the one they have trust in that you're going to lead them right. So whatever you do, they're going to pick up your habits, you know. And for as telling the truth, you will go into church and you be all this, and then at home you are a whole different person. It's time out for scrabbling the fence, you know. You know, because we know that the devil is the author of lies. So you have to,
yes.
Next time you tell a lie, you need to ask yourself, where did that come from?
Jesus.
So then when you ask yourself that, take yourself back to Genesis.
Yes, Lord.
And read when it first began in the garden, how the enemy was so subtle. See, he's so subtle. He'll come to you in a spit of a hat, make you tell a lie before you can even think about it, because he's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. You know, if you want to be this and that outside your house, be all that you can inside your house, because the main people that are watching you live with you 24/7, and those are the ones that you have to be concerned. Those are the ones you're going to be responsible for.
Come on.
So we have to be so very careful, because your life is going to speak for you. You know, what you sow is what you're going to reap. You may lie one time and get by with it, but the next time you lie, he's going to catch up with you, because the Holy Ghost knows all things.
Come on.
And it'll be a bad situation to stand up there in your fine robe, your nice high-heel shoes, your big wide hat. And the cover be pulled off of you right in front of everybody. That would be a sad day, sad day. So we have to choose who's really going to be our father, whether it's going to be the devil or it's going to be God. And it always takes us back to choose you this day who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve God, serve him in your home, and also serve him outside your home. Be real with yourself and be real with others, because people's souls are at stake.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Prophet.
Amen. You know, it goes back to something that Minister Howell is always saying. You know, Minister Howell said something about the word group. You know, a lot of us don't live like we're supposed to live, whether mother or father or anyone else.
Amen.
You know, we don't live like we're supposed to live because we don't like that word, like Minister Al always saying. We don't like that word through, going through something. You know, going through something and to really be a witness for God, you're going to have to go through some things.
Amen.
See, because nobody told us, Prophet Z, that when you got saved, I know they lied to you and tell you everything going to get better once you give your life to Jesus Christ. I know they told you that lie because they told me that lie. But
Well, I'd have to stop you and say I actually wouldn't know any lie. I was just told that I need to get baptized and get saved. I wasn't told it was going to be all right. I wasn't told it was going to be anything. I was just told that I need to get baptized and saved.
Amen. Well, I was told the lie, you're having problems in your life because you're not saved. And so you know, you got saved, things will be so hard for you. And a lot of us were told that lie. But here, I have to tell you something. And this is talking from someone who is saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when you get saved, all hell is going to break loose. And I'm not cursing or anything, but I'm saying this. All of hell is literally going to break loose. I'm talking about the literal place, man. All of hell is going to be
doom and gloom and come after you.
Mm.
A lot of people, you have to straighten up. People are thank you, because I know it's right, baby girl. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, she done got the preaching.
Amen. I know that's right, baby girl, because you got to let, you got to make it plain. So, literally, all hell will come after you. But here's the wonderful thing about being saved. I done told you about the target being on your back. I done told you the bad part. But here is about, here is the wonderful thing about being saved. I don't care if the world is against you and the world is plotting against you.
Amen.
And when you are living for Jesus, you can go through hell and high water. But there is a Savior that says, I will be with you. I won't let you suffer these things alone. I won't let you go through these things by yourself. And a lot of us have not been the witnesses that we need to be because we're afraid of going through. We're afraid of suffering persecution. We're afraid of what friends may say, what this one may say, what that one may say. And we don't want to go through, so it's easier to compromise. But you don't understand, with the compromise, you're losing the soul of your family. Jesus, you don't understand that with the compromise, you're not only making it easier for you to travel this journey through this thing we call life, but you're in the process proving to be something that you're really not. And so you're losing the soul of your family. And so it's like, are you going in this game? It's like, are you going to save yourself or save your family? See, because here's the illusion. When you compromise like that, all of it's really going to hell. Because God doesn't say you're not going to hell because you're the deacon at the church. Because your position don't save you.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Your position don't save you. So you think just
Amen. Let me get a position
in the church. Let me get a position. Because deacons are going to hell just as well as bishops. I'm going to have to tell the truth here. Prophets are going to hell just as well as the pastor.
Amen.
So don't think that getting your name on somebody's roll and getting a position in the church, I'm A1 with God and I can do whatever I want to do and it'll never affect me. No. You're going to live the life. You know, there was an old song, Minister Allen, you may know it more so. You're able to teach us some things. And so you may know this song, but the saints used to say, if Jesus were to call you from labor to reward, what about the life you live in now?
Oh, my Lord.
What about the life you live in now? What about the life would make your child say, I want that Jesus?
Mm-mm, not mama.
I want that lifestyle that mama got. I want that lifestyle that when she go through things, she's able to overcome it. Because I'm looking at her and I see no way in the world I would be able to raise 5 kids and get them off to school and get into this. I see no way I have to do this. But I want that she has. That's what this is about. Making people want what you have, even your children.
Amen.
Because we put our best salesman hat on for Jesus when we're after evangelizing the lost. But what about when you're evangelizing your child?
Come on now.
What about when your child goes out to college and they now have questions? Because you know, they say children go to the even Christian college. And only 70 or 50% of them come out still wanting to be saved.
Wow.
See, because they teach all of these other religions in school. see, because the world has now come to a place where they say, well, we got to be well balanced. We can't teach one absolute religion. We got to be fair to all of them.
Jesus.
And so what do you do when your child is going to school and they taught them about the Big Bang Theory and they taught them about stuff that has completely wiped God and the family values that he was raised up with out of his mind? Do you live a lifestyle where he can say, I don't care what y'all say, I know God real?
Amen.
See, that's what we're talking about. See, because that's where we're coming to, prophecy. We're coming to a time, and we're already there in some aspect, where we're going to have infallible proof that Jesus is real.
Amen.
And how are we going to have that infallible proof, prophecy? By giving our lives totally over to
him. Amen. Preach now.
It can't be, I'll do this, and then I'll do that, and I'll do this, and then I'll do that. You can't pick and choose what you're going to do.
Amen.
Because the enemy will come through the loopholes of your life.
Yes, Lord, he will. Come on now, preach.
He'll come through the loopholes of your life, and I feel the anointing because somebody's child is suffering because you're not showing the correct picture of Jesus. Somebody's child is suffering and you're living in a certain way because, yay, how you gonna get mad at me for being a religious hypocrite when I've never seen what Jesus really looked like? What the lifestyle really looked like. You can't get mad at me for being a hypocrite when I don't know what he really looks like.
Jesus. Jesus.
See, I got help tonight because that's why Prophet V is really driving this home with the women about what do your children say? What do your children say about you? Because even Jesus, now watch this, even Jesus checked his relationship by people he were around.
Amen.
Because
come on.
He said to his disciples, close to time for him to depart and die. He said, who do men say that I am?
Come on. Amen. Preaching now.
I want to make sure they see the right stuff.
That's right. Come on now.
Who do me say that I am? So he started from those people that weren't that close to him.
Amen.
He said, who do they say that I am? And then they said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're the prophet, some say you did, some say you're that. And then he got real personal. He said, okay, what about y'all? Because y'all live with me.
Come on now.
Y'all live with me. So. Y'all live with me, walk with me, learn from me, y'all. Y'all around
come
me
on.
When
preach
not
now.
Around the multitude.
Come on, preach.
Y'all around me when nobody's asking for me to heal them.
Come on.
Y'all around me, even when I was being crucified, y'all were the ones that I called and said, would you pray with me just 1 hour?
Come on.
Y'all are the ones that I have are in my inner circle. So what do y'all say that I am?
Oh, come on now, preach.
And if watch this prophet be, if Jesus has to check it, you know we do.
Come on. Preach now.
If Jesus had to check it, you know we do.
That's the word.
Because he had to check it, but we don't. Oh, no, we got to check our lives. And when they didn't know who Jesus, and when they were struggling to know who Jesus is, you know what he said? How long do I have to be with you before you do?
Come on. How long? Preach now.
I can't leave here and you not know with a shout of doubt who I am.
Who I am. Come on, Jesus. All right now.
Oh, my God. I can't leave here and you wondering, well, was he or was he not?
Jesus.
And so what Prophet V is bringing to us on tonight, you don't want to leave your children with the question.
Come on.
Was she?
Come on, preach
or
now.
Was she not? Was daddy or was daddy not?
Come on.
So that's what we're doing here tonight. You want to do like Jesus. If they don't understand who you are now, say, how long, son, is it going to take for you to see? How long, daughter, is it going to take for you to see? See, because you want to make sure that even if you don't follow the way that I follow, you know I at least did it right.
Oh, come on now.
Even if you don't go the way that I'm going, at least you know that what it is. You at least you know the path to get back to it, because the Bible will train up a child in the way you should go, and when he goes, he will not depart away from it. But how can he, if he depart and go out, how can he get back to the righteous path if you never showed the way?
Jesus.
But I have a righteous path. So how can he now turn around? Because we say, even though they stray away, they always going to come back if you train them right. But if you never show the right way to get back to Jesus, how is he supposed to come back?
Oh,
or if he's stuck with the hypocritical image, and so he comes back only to be a hypocrite. He comes back. I don't know why the Lord is going this way. Jesus, he comes back, but he's in and out of the church because that's what he saw you do. And you saying you need to give your life over. I'm doing what you taught me to do when I love Jesus.
Amen.
So that's why Prophet V is really, you know, asking, what do your children say? What testimony do your children? So Jesus even observed the testimony of his critics. And of the people that was close to him, because he did a self-check.
Come on.
If you would have said, they said you're somebody else, or they say you one of the Sadducees, he would have said, okay, hold on, I got to back this thing up. No doubt in my mind. Because he wanted to make sure that when people see me, do they see the Father?
Come on now.
When I know what I said I am, Prophet V.
Yeah.
You know, I know what I said I am, but when people see me, what do they see? See, because Jesus wanted it to be in word and deed.
Oh, come on now.
Okay. Prophet is be back and see your hands.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. People have to see, first of all, they need to see what a woman of God looks like. Then a wife. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a woman in the pulpit. What does a woman of God look like? How does she speak? How does she walk? How does she carry herself? Then a woman in ministry, praise God, or in leadership, praise the Lord. But before they see that, they need to see the woman in the house, the mother, praise God, the wife, glory to God. We are supposed to help them see what they are to become. Glory to God. And if we're the ones who are supposed to be helping them see what they are to become, we have to look like what they are to become. Praise God. Now, am I saying that you won't fall? Praise God. No. Am I saying you won't make a mistake? No. But when you do, or if you do fall, praise God, because not everybody falls. But if you do fall, and if you do make a mistake, praise God, you need to see what that looks like also. Can they see, okay, well, you know what? Today, mommy said a bad word, right? And you know what? Mommy's supposed to be a woman of God, but mommy said a bad word, right? And then after she said that bad word, what did she do afterwards? See, because we get so caught up in not doing wrong to where we don't see that when a person does do wrong, there's a lesson within that. When you do something that is not right by God, what is the next step? Okay. Let's go back to David, a man after God's own heart. A man of God, a man who walked with God, okay? Because I got to go there. I have to go there. Why? Because we as Christians don't keep it real. David, a man after God's own heart, did some wrong, right?
Yes.
And it should have been that he should have been 100% perfect and he should never do any wrong, right? Wrong. We're not perfect. He's perfecting us. We should be perfect in our behavior, yes. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be perfect, because I'm perfect. He's saying, do what I do, but you can't. You're not God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have to come to that place that says, okay, if I do something wrong, because David did something wrong, that didn't stop him from being a man of God, did it? Let's now separate the two. Was he not a man of God because he did wrong? Or was he a man of God that did wrong? See, because we can't tell people that a woman of God or a man of God don't do no wrong, because then we give them a false description of what that person looks like. When you do some wrong, then be like David. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Get right with God. Separate yourself from your sin, from your wrongdoing. Get back in that rightful place. We got to teach them the right thing, too. Let's go back to the prodigal son.
Yeah.
He walked away, but he came back. And when he came back, God didn't talk to him about all the wrong he did. God gave us that story to show us ourselves. Every story, every parable that is in the Bible is to teach us something, to learn from it. When the prodigal son stepped away, when he came back, he had, what, the fattest calf and a colt. Look at all he was given when he came back after he did wrong. Am I telling you to go the wrong way? No, I'm not. But you got to come to that place where you realize there's some people in that word that didn't do everything right. When are we going to let people know that, though? Or are we going to have them chasing after something that ain't real? Oh, no, see, that woman of God over there, or that so-called woman of God, or that so-called preacher, or that so-called prophet has said everybody do something wrong. Okay, show me a person that ain't done something wrong. Because that Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says. So you show me a person that ain't never, or let me get grammatically correct, show me a person that has not ever did anything wrong. Or show me a person that has never done anything wrong, and I'll show you a liar. somebody that's 100% perfect, that does everything right and never does something wrong, I will show you a liar. I'll show you what a liar looks like. If you want to know what a liar looks like, you bring me a person that has never done anything wrong. Ever. Because that's a liar. That's not a person telling the truth. And it's not the fact that people are lying to them. It's the fact that they're lying to themselves. Well, wait a minute now. You're over here doing some false preaching and false teaching and false doctrine. No, I'm telling you the truth. David did some wrong. But he was still a man after God's own heart. Oh, come on. Moses got angry. Elijah was scared. Jonah ran away. Oh, come on now. If we're going to look at the truth, see it for what it really is. If your mother said something that she shouldn't say because you made her mad or your father made her mad. Now, let's separate facts from truth. Just because somebody makes you mad doesn't mean that you should say something that you shouldn't say, whether it's a curse word or whether it's just a regular word. But let's say that you do. What is the course of action that comes behind that? Repent. Is that not the course of action that you need to take? You say something you shouldn't say, you repent. You ask God for forgiveness. And then you turn around from that place that you were in. I don't want to say this again. I don't want to do this because this displeases God. This is not pleasing to God. This does not show that I'm a child of God. So I don't want to do this again. God, help me to not do this. Jesus, help me. Holy Ghost, teach me. But help me not to sin against you. So even though she did something wrong, she now has the obligation and the responsibility to teach the child the correct way to go before God and acknowledge the wrong that she did. I know that was wrong. I know that was not right. I am truly sorry, and I don't want to do that anymore. Help me not to go that way. That is the correct way to show the child. And say, Mommy was wrong for saying that. I was wrong. I wasn't right. God is not pleased with that sort of behavior. I don't represent him properly when I did that. Or I was not representing him properly when I did that. This is not pleasing to God, and it's not right. You just taught him or her a lesson. And you showed him or her, your child, your children, how to honor God, how to go before him and say, I was wrong. That wasn't right. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your wrongdoing. But then work towards getting it together, getting it right. Because you know what? God will reward you for doing what's right before him. Yeah, he's going to deal with you for doing what's wrong, but he's going to reward you for doing what was right. You just taught that child. No, it's not okay to sin. No, it's not okay to disobey God. But you know what? If you do something that's not right, God does not say, I don't love you anymore. I don't care about you anymore. You're not my child anymore. If a natural earthly parent doesn't do it, why do we expect God to do that to his children? Why do we expect God to throw his children away when they do something that's not right, something that he told them not to do? Do earthly children do what their parents told them to do all the time? Did we as children, come on, let's be real here. Did you as a child do everything your mother told you to do? Everything your father told you to do? Are we going to tell the truth? Or are we going to lie and say we did everything our parents told us to do? Every single thing. We ain't never separate ourselves and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Prophet, your mic is back open. Or are we going to tell the truth and say, you know what? I did do some wrong. as a child. I didn't obey everything my mother said. I didn't obey everything my father said. But my mother didn't disown me because I didn't do everything she said. My father didn't disown me because I didn't do everything he said. God's not going to disown you because you don't do everything. He's going to deal with you like a parent deals with a child to correct you so you can get it right. So even within that lesson, you just taught that child something good. Minister Howell, the floor is yours, woman of God.
Praise the Lord. Everything has been said is just really awesome. You know, you have to be that light. You have to be that light in your home and everywhere you go. You have to be the same person. See, because God does not change. He does not change. He's the same God today as he was on yesterday. So
Amen. If we
say yes to his will and yes to his way, we're saying that he lives in us. So we should not change. Yeah, we have made mistakes in our life coming up as kids. We didn't always do everything our parents told us to do. But as we continue to grow in it, we realize that what we did was wrong, that our parents was right. So
that's right.
As you continue to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will understand that you cannot be one way this minute and the next minute you somebody else, because you are living two lives, and you can't live two lives. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. And
Man.
You know that all liars should have their part in the lake of fire. If you don't
Amen.
Know what the lake of fire is, it's hell. H-E-L-L. That's exactly what it is. And God, hell is not made for the people of God. You know what I'm saying? God came that we have life and have it more abundantly. And if we die and go to hell, it's our own fault, because he left the word of God, which is basic instruction before leaving this earth. And all we have to do is read that word. It'll teach you how to live right. It'll teach you how to talk right. It'll teach you how to love right. Or it'll teach you how to be a mother at home. It'll teach you how to be a mother outside your home. Glory to God. We have to stay in his word, read his word on a daily basis.
Amen.
Walk in the spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
And we know that lying is a fleshly thing.
Yeah.
So there is no good thing in the flesh.
Yeah.
You may think lying is good, but it's not good in the end, because you're going to, those seed that you sowed out there, they're going to come back to haunt you.
Amen.
And it's not a very nice picture when it come back to haunt you. So it behooves us to do the right thing.
Amen.
Live the way God wants us to live. Talk the way he wants us to talk. Because truly there is somebody watching us. There's somebody who wants to be saved out there. And we can make one mistake, and that soul will be lost. And you know what? That soul will be lost, and what? The blood will be required to our hands. So we have to be so very careful. And say, God, you know, each day you wake up, say, God, help me. Help me. And God will help us, you know, because Prophet Z said, we can't do nothing without God, you know. We need him 24/7. When we get up in the morning, say, Lord, thank you for this day. What would you have me to do this day? Lord, help me to do right in this day, because tomorrow ain't promised to you.
Man.
So live right while it's day. The
Come
night
on.
Is far spent.
Come on.
It's time that we go about our Father's business. It's time that our light so shine that others will see our good works and want to have what we have on the inside of us.
Amen.
Glory to God. Especially our loved ones.
Yes.
And our loved ones will be able to tell the testimony and say, oh, my daddy was this. Oh, my mama was this.
Come on.
You see, the truth will come out.
Come on.
That mask that you're wearing on Sunday, that mask will be pulled off of it if it's not real in your house. It'll be pulled
Man.
Off because you don't know who's going to knock on your door. It might come at a time you very well unexpected for that person to come.
Amen.
And they'll say, what matter a woman is this?
Come on.
What matter a man is this? Oh, my Lord.
Amen.
My Lord, my Lord. So we have to be so very careful, saints. Take heed to the word of God. Take heed to what you're hearing tonight.
Amen.
If there's any wicked way in your life, ask God to help you with it. He
yes.
will He will forgive you of your sin. He will wash it away and throw it in the sea of forgiveness, not to remember it anymore. Glory to God. And you can move forward. But you got to put it under the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And don't pick it up no more. Glory to God. Put it behind you. Because the wages of sin is death. Again, you can't have two masters. You can't love two masters. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. You can't serve two masters. That's what I'm saying. You can't serve two. So it behooves you to serve God and Him only. Because He has all power in His hand. He has the power to destroy the body and the soul. Glory to God.
Amen.
So take heed tonight. Take heed.
Amen.
Tonight. Don't take it lightly. Don't take your salvation lightly.
That's
Don't
right.
Don't put your salvation on the shelf until you come back and pick it up. Because that may be the day when He calls your name.
Amen. Preach it now.
Glory to God.
Prophet, man of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know,
we're closing out.
Amen. Hey, you hear me?
Yes, Prophet, I can hear you.
Amen. All has really been said, so this is just going to be the last words I want to leave with the audience. Amen. Live through your life, not just what you say.
Amen. Praise the Lord. People of God, I want you to understand this. God is always looking. God is always watching. God is always listening. Strive to do always what is right before God. You are an ambassador of Christ. You are a student, a disciple. And so that means that you're supposed to show others the life that they are supposed to live. You are supposed to show others what is acceptable before God. You are a messenger for God. You are a walking billboard, a spokeswoman for God. And so you need to represent Him properly and correctly. Always strive to be the woman that God is pleased with. Always strive to be the wife that God is pleased with. Always strive to be the mother that God is pleased with. But most importantly, strive to be a child of God. Strive to be a child that obeys the instruction, the command, the ordinance, the statutes, the precepts of her Father. Let people see that you do care about what your Father says, that you do want to make your Father happy, that you do want to please your God, that you want to represent Him in a way that says, I am a child of God. I am a woman of God. I am a leader within God's church, ministry, congregation. And I am properly and correctly representing God and what is acceptable by God in the pulpit, in the pew, but most importantly, in the home. If you do these things, then you will be pleasing unto the Father, pleasing unto the Son. You will show that you've been taught well by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And you will be an example for others to follow. So be blessed, women of God. Know that God loves you, that we love you. So this is a place of love. Even if you did or are doing something wrong and you now need to correct it, love wants you to get corrected right. Love says, I don't want to see you go to a place that you won't be happy in. Hell's not a happy place. place of torment, place of torture. It's a terrible place. It's not a happy place. And a God of love doesn't want to see you go to an unhappy place. So strive to be all that God wants you to be and desires you to be. Because he's watching, he's looking, and he's listening. Be blessed, people of God. We love you. I'm going to pray us out. Father God, I thank you for every word that you allowed to be spoken. I thank you for every son, and I thank you for every daughter. I thank you for the ears, the eyes that will see, for the hearts that will be receptive to what it is that you were saying, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for allowing us to speak before your children, Lord, because we also must be mindful that we are before your people. We are speaking to people in front of you and for you and about you. So we, Lord, are always mindful that we first and foremost need to be those who lead by example. Father God, I thank you for Minister Howell and for Prophet Morgan. I thank you for every man, woman, daughter, son, child that came and listened here and on today. I thank you for every person that you will bless. I thank you for every person that you're helping. I thank you for every wife that you're keeping, every marriage that you're mending, every marriage that you're reconciling, the children that you're bringing back to the mother and father, and the mother and father that you're bringing back to the children. Lord, I thank you for your shed blood. I thank you for your covenant. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, because we need it. Whether we know it or not, we need it. Whether we know we're depending or leaning on it or not, we do, and we need you. So, Lord, I thank you for protecting and keeping every man, woman, and child, every son and every daughter. I thank you for your shed blood. I thank you for blessing your children. I thank you for protecting them, oh Lord. I thank you for providing for them, Father God. But most importantly, I thank you for just being a father to your children, for being a God who loves his people, for being a king who rules and reigns righteously, and for being holy, always teaching and training us to be more like you, to represent you and in your image before your people. And Father, I thank you for every person that you've blessed, every person that you've helped. It is God in every home, Father, in every heart and in every mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. We love you, but we'll be back on on Friday. I'm going all the way to next week, Monday. We'll be back on Friday. Praise God. The Lord willing, we'll be back on Friday. Praise the Lord.
Probably.
Yes, man of God.
Real quickly, if you would allow me, if those are going to be up late, we will be on at 10 o'clock on 1000 Mike.
Okay.
If you're going to be up late, that's going to be 10 o'clock Central and 11 o'clock Eastern.
Amen.
If you're going to be up late. If not, you know, catch it in the morning like most people are going to. I started to say most of us, but I guess I can't say us because I'm the host. So.
Amen.
Amen. But catch it in the morning, but we're about to be on 1000. Like 15 Central, 11 Eastern.
Praise the Lord. Today is Monday, so Tuesday. Praise God. So go ahead and let the people know about what will be happening tomorrow on TLA Ministries, as well as how they can donate and support the work of the ministry and what God's doing.
Okay. Amen. Let me get some stuff together, praise God. Tomorrow on TLO Ministry, you will have none other than Prophetess Kane in the building. Amen. And she'll be bringing forth the bread of life. Amen. And you don't want to miss it. The showtime is 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it. If you're not able to join in by going to blogtalkradio.com, you are more than welcome to join us on the line.
at 714-242-5349. And the way that you can give to our ministry is going to GoFundMe.com/10ZDHK. And there you will find the project that the Lord has True Light Outreach Ministry doing. And we look forward to seeing you guys there on at the program tomorrow.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, people of God, God bless you, and may you have the best sleep that you've ever slept before in your life. Praise God, because God is able to cause you to wake up and feel as if you've been on vacation. Praise God, and you're now getting back to work. Glory to God. I thank God for each and every one of you, and just know that the Lord loves you. And he leads you safely by your way. Be blessed. Good night.